Hey guys, welcome to the Black and Bold podcast, where we talk about relevant news and interesting topics each week. You're listening to us for the very first time on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores with your co-hosts Nishan and
Luxon.
And before we begin today's topic, we're going to go into a little news segment, starting with Spelman College receiving a massive donation of $100 million, the most of any HBCU. So right now, Rhonda Stryker, a longtime Spelman trustee, along with her husband, William Johnston, granted the Spelman College a large donation. Spelman, for those who don't know, is an HBCU, historically black college university. It's an all-girls school in Atlanta, Georgia. And according to CNN and NBC News, $75 million will be used for future scholarships, and the rest will be used for academics. Any thoughts?
I'm very happy to hear this donation going to Spelman, and I feel like this is something that's going to start reinvigorating a lot of HBCUs, and I mean, this is definitely a great thing to see happen. I also heard that in 2023, Spelman received also a large sizable donation, another large sizable donation as well for about 10 mil from another couple. So it looks like there's just been receiving a lot of money, and I think there's going to be more to come. I'm definitely happy to hear this for them, and I hope that this just ignites a chain of donations to multiple other HBCUs as well, and this just starts a whole new wave.
Yeah, honestly, I'm very pleased by this news. You know, one thing that I have noticed about a lot of HBCUs is that they are notoriously underfunded. You know, just lack of funds and money means that the schools aren't properly developed, the academic portions, athletics, and even just the infrastructure within the school is just poorly constructed. So it's great seeing that they will get more access to these funds and be able to improve on what they have already. I know that some schools like Howard are still looking for donations. And of course, you know, you have the all guys school version, Morehouse, mm-hmm. that, you know, they can always take those funds and donations and make it into something greater. Mm-hmm. I remember as someone who originally did apply to Morehouse, it is very exciting news. And I hope more comes like along the way.
Yeah, I hope Rhonda and William can donate to a couple other ones just to, you know, just let a couple other people feel the love of about $100 million.
Right, well, yeah. Certainly. I know that a lot of HBCUs suffer from like low graduation rates, and I think a lot of that comes from just lack of money, lack of scholarships, mm-hmm. inability to pay off student loans, or just like the cost of being in school. So hopefully with this, more students will be able to actually complete their 4 years. You know, if they want to get a graduate program, they may be able to stay over here and get like quality education so that in the future, you know, there'll be more work to the school.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are looking to get affiliated with HBCUs. But I mean, the thing you mentioned about them being extremely underfunded doesn't really help their attendance. And I mean, I feel like even if you do get accepted to an HBCU, like, you're going to be in a lot of debt because you're most likely going to have to take out a lot of loans because they're not really helping you a lot aid-wise, and you'd probably have to be a whiz at getting a lot of scholarships. So, I mean, it's unfortunate that a lot of these HBCUs are not getting the love that they so truly deserve.
Yeah, like, I know to add on to that, I know that a lot of celebrities, you know, famous black actors, athletes, a lot of them just don't end up donating to these HBCUs. I think they've been confronted on this before. And while, yes, it is true that it's their money, and a lot of times they don't have that much of an affiliation, it's always nice to see, like, you know, black performers be able to donate their money, like, you know, Rhonda Stryker and I believe her husband as well are white. So it's great seeing, like, you know, people from the outside who do care. She was a longtime Spelman trustee. She wasn't an alumni, but it's always great seeing people, you know, from the outside community just actually like helping these schools. But, you know, it just, to me, it says, you know, why can't we do it as well? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but going on,
Yeah, another story that I just wanted to bring up for our new section is problems both at North Carolina Agriculture and Technology University and LSU. First, NCAT is having issues with heating. It's affecting the temperature in 30-plus buildings. A lot of the campus is having heating issues, and they're not really having access to hot water, so it's displacing a lot of students, and it's causing a lot of students to just up and go and head back home or just try to put in a transfer because the issues aren't getting fixed quickly enough, and the students are getting the short end of the stick in that regard. And at LSU, there was a flood that happened in one of their engineering buildings, which is something that also displaced a couple of students. I don't think it was as severe or as egregious to the level of the issue that happened at NCAT, but still two unfortunate things to hear for both of these universities.
Absolutely. Compared to the previous schools we were talking about, I don't think that LSU has a funding problem. So at this point, it's more like, I mean, it's kind of, I don't, it's like, not to sound rude, to sympathize with all the students who had to experience all of that, but it's like there probably is like a fundamental problem with funding, or it could just be an unfortunate scenario, mm-hmm. which came from a weather crisis. I know a lot of times like schools that do have money end up like cutting corners mm-hmm. to make things easier than they should be, and then you end up doing all this and, you know, it all falls apart, like mm-hmm. inevitably. But, you know, there's been like a pretty bad weather crisis like across the U.S. for the past couple of days, the past week. You know, right here at UConn, we had like a lot of ice and a lot of mm-hmm. snow, and they still refused to cancel classes yeah. until everyone got to the campus.
Yeah, they refused to cancel classes up until like 2 p.m. is when they made the decision to actually cancel classes. And at that point, a lot of classes had already went on, and it only affected like a small portion of the campus.
Yeah, but with these schools, I am less aware of NCAT, but, you know, hopefully they get their situation fixed. It probably has happened to a lot of schools, but these are the two that just caught our attention. So for those who are out there struggling in this pretty wild weather, this unforgiving winter weather, thoughts and prayers with you, you know, just hopefully, you know, the schools can actually survive from this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyways, next, moving on, Kanye posted an album, postponed his album date for the third time, and is allegedly coming out with an apology video. So just to retrack, Kanye was originally supposed to drop his new album Vultures for December 15th, but has since then pushed it back twice. The second time was from early January, when he promised us he was going to give us his album, but it didn't come to fruition. And for some reason, he just decided, hey, I'm going to knock it back to like, when was it? When was he planning on
postponing it like the first time? When was like the day he said he was going to do it next, but he ended up not doing it? Or when did he postpone it for the most recent time? Like, when is that?
When is he? When is it supposed to come out now?
I believe it is February, was it 12th or 15th?
All right, got you. Thanks. But he also stated that he's going to come out with a 40-minute apology video prior to that release. And a lot of it comes from his, like, controversial statements on the Jewish community. And honestly, he's been going off the deep end. But, mm-hmm. yeah, he said that he's trying to make an apology video for that. So we'll see how that goes. What are your thoughts?
Honestly, I'm not surprised that the album has been postponed. I feel like I didn't expect the music to come when he first announced it. I was kind of anticipating it was going to take him a little bit longer, since I know he was trying to get a couple things done for the album, and I think he said it wasn't completely done yet, and he still wanted to do a couple things. So when he said it for the first time that he was going to postpone it, it didn't really shock me. But, I mean, it happening three times now is a little bit concerning because it was expected the first time for me personally, but, like, the other two times, it's like, all right, when is this album coming out? I actually made the joke to you that the album's probably going to come out on Kim's birthday because he's just really trying to just drag it on for as long as he can. But,
it's just everything's been going wrong. I feel like Kanye has had taken one of the biggest L's of 2023, to be honest. It's just so much going on, and he just made every situation, like, worse. Like, his comments, the whole Bianca, like, situation, and then, like, now he's pulling away, like, he's just taking, like, postponing his album, you know, constantly, like, dangling it in front of our, like, faces. All that for the album to be trash. Imagine it's just ass, bro.
Yeah, just to let you guys know, I did fact check the exact date. It is February 9th. Just to let you guys know, it wasn't the 12th or the 15th. It's the 9th, to let you guys know. But, yeah.
Yeah, but it's just, I don't know what to think of him anymore because it's like he's done so much, and it's like, bro, just give us the damn album.
Yeah, it's like, my dog, you've been taking L's for just a long period of time. I feel like if you get this album out and if it does well, you may have a win.
It'd be something. I think he kind of he's a little far off.
He needs a win. He faced a mass exodus a little bit ago with him getting thrown off every social media app on the planet and with his net worth basically being halved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, you know, we'll just leave Kanye alone because this. Check out our older episodes on Spotify. We've talked about him quite a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but anyways, UConn students beware because there was a robbery around the campus Wednesday. So this man named Jacob Neff was charged for first-degree robbery and possession of a firearm. The suspect started around 3:45 p.m. at CVS and threatened, I believe, a cashier or something,
mm-hmm.
and then went to Domino's. And then went to Price Chopper for work. He worked there,
mm-hmm.
and he was caught by the UConn Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just really whack. I just learned about this, and I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, like, you know, just casually, you know, just bring a weapon to CVS, then go to Domino's, get some free food, mm-hmm. and then just go to work, like, and nothing else happened. It's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't think something like this would happen so close to our campus and so recently. I literally didn't hear about this today. I feel like this sort of thing would be a little bit more talked about, but I mean,
yeah,
I guess not. I don't know.
From what I heard, the firearm was confirmed to be fake and there were no injuries reported, so I
guess thankfully it's a plus.
Yeah, he was also put on bond for $250,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not getting out anytime soon.
He's cooked, bro.
Mm.
All that he could have used all that for student loans, bro.
Yeah.
Was he a student?
He was 25. I don't think he was a student.
Whatever. But still, you get the point. Just like my question was, what was he going to CVS for?
I'd say he's not a student, but he definitely has some type of student loans now.
Yeah.
Mm.
He's trying to steal some Sour Patch Kids, bro, and then get some free pizza.
Yeah, no. He's fed up.
No, but
where was he working? I heard he worked, like, somewhere downtown.
Price Chopper.
Dang, he's probably fed up working at Price Chopper.
He went there. He went there for work.
Ah, well.
And then got caught over there.
Just dumb criminal then. Dumb criminal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But that's a certified UConn moment. I define UConn moments as things that don't make sense around the University of Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty simple as it is.
Yeah.
Well, that's it today for news. And now we're going to go into our main topic of the day, which is sports. And this is where I introduce you guys to our guest, Dan Stark.
Oh, yeah. It is great to be here on the mic with you guys. Let's get it.
All right. So starting with sports, we can't forget to mention that the UConn men's basketball team has gotten the number one ranking in the AP poll for the first time in 15 years.
It feels good, man. Feels good to be number one in the nation.
Back on top.
And I'm going into Monday when the rankings came out, my biggest fear was, please don't be Kansas number one. Please don't be Kansas number one.
They lost to UCF. They weren't going to get it.
But then, because I was worried too, because they lost to the, I think it was Oklahoma who was, or no, they beat Oklahoma who was number nine. And I'm like, uh-oh, is that going to counter it? But then, luckily, the UCF loss carried. And they just beat somebody else too who's ranked.
I forgot. Like,
I can check that, but I saw some about it the other night. They took somebody else down, so good for them.
My issue was Purdue.
Mm.
Because I remember that time we lost to Seton Hall and we didn't move down from number five. I was partially afraid that they were going to keep Purdue at one and just move us to two.
Well, they do love glazing Purdue after all.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I will give it to Purdue. They do have a great resume. It's just that, you know, they lost.
And they just, I don't know, they've consistently shown these past couple years they cannot get it done come tournament time. They just can't.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely don't trust them. It's like to the point where I talked to my friend from Marching Man. Mm-hmm. It's basically become a meme that Purdue can't win in March. I don't know what's wrong with them.
They are the Dallas Cowboys of college basketball.
That is a good way to put it.
That's the ultimate way here.
Yeah, like, it's like last year they had like suffered the worst loss in tournament history, losing to a 16 seed. There was just so much wrong with it. 16 seed who wasn't even supposed to be there because they didn't get the auto bid for March Madness. Auto bids work if you win your conference, and they have like one of the weakest conferences. The team that beat them for the conference auto bid was ineligible, so they got in by extension. Shortest team on average in D1 at 6'1", and they were Purdue had 7'4" Zach Edey, one of the tallest players. FDU had Fairleigh Dickinson was the name of the school, by the way. They were small ass like school in New Jersey. They also had the easiest strength of schedule in all of D1 for that year, and their rankings out of 363 schools, they were like in the low 200s.
Yeah, they were pretty bad by standards. Yeah. What I think too makes the Purdue versus FDU loss so bad is that they were in it that game. They could have easily won that.
Yes.
Like, at least when Virginia went down in 2018 to UMBC, they were blown out. There was no hope.
Yeah.
Purdue had some hope, and they just couldn't get it done. FDU, they had a great game plan. They were triple-teaming Zach Edey, I think.
Quadrupled. He was held to 1 point the entire game. Their issue is that their point guards could not shoot for shit.
Take notes. Hold down your big men.
Yeah, but UConn on top, and we just had a great electric game against Creighton on Wednesday, and all three of us were there in different spaces.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on the game?
I feel like it was in the beginning, it was a bit of a touch-and-go game for us because we were losing and we kind of had to get some ground back because I saw that Creighton was sticking with us and they were ahead for a good bit of the early portion of the game, but about around midway, we kind of started to overtake them, started to do pretty well. There were a couple times where I feel like some of our big men could have shot, but I don't think they had enough confidence in their shot. Understandable, they are big men. It's not really their forte, but like, you know, I feel like there are, of course, some moments where they could have said, fuck it. I might as well just shoot it because they were wide open. But, I mean, overtaking Creighton, we gained a lead by about around 20 points, and then they started to gain some of that ground back, and it got a little bit scary at the end because they had a 10-point gap between us, and then they were fighting hard in that last quarter right there because they were getting extremely horny, and
that's a great way to put it.
I know.
They wound up with 18 fouls, and it was just not a good look for them, and I don't think they're really known for fouling, but I guess they wanted the game bad. But I mean,
yeah,
we came away with the dub, so yeah, I'm fairly happy, and I'm excited for the game against Providence that we're gonna have at Gampo. I'm gonna be there for that one too.
I'm going to that. That's gonna be a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it definitely, when it got down to 10, I'm like, oh no, here we go, because they just kept draining threes after a while. It's just like, come on, what are we doing here, man? It was great to see Tristan Newton have a great night. He was draining some shots, but I think when you look at the box score, like in terms of the shooting outside of Spencer, Newton, and Caravan, pretty, pretty bad. Stephon Castle, I think, was like 2-for-12 or something from the field, because he put up a lot of shots, but it was just like, some of them close, others it's like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
Definitely a awesome defensive performance. Yeah, holding a top 25 ranked team to under 50 points is just great. We forced a lot of good turnovers, steals, blocks, and it was nice seeing Klingon getting in on some of the blocking action. Just the place was going nuts for him, which was that was great.
Up to speed. That was the most unusual game I've seen, like in terms of defensive performance for us. Because the last couple of games without Klingon, I noticed that we swapped to a completely offensive like style. Mm-hmm. Basically, we're mostly relying on outscoring our opponents, like raw outscoring, getting like 80s, like high 80s, and all of that. Whereas with this game, we just hunkered down on defense. It was like insane.
It's good, and that's good because it shows the versatility that this team has. We can both light you up and then just clamp you down.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. The shooting, I was a little bit worried going into this game that there was going to be shooting regression. Basically, what I mean by shooting regression is when, like, for example, during Georgetown, we had a really good, like, shooting performance.
Right.
We were mostly shooting from outside the perimeter or making, like, really wicked jump shots.
Yeah.
But the issue was that was an outlier. We did way better than it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking that in the next game, we're going to shoot a little bit worse.
Yeah.
Just so we get back to the average, like, you know, that's like a little statistics type thing. But, it's like I was relieved in the point where even though we did regress in our shooting, we were able to, like, quickly adapt and, like, take a different, like, thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we came in, great game plan, and it worked. And just having that crowd there, too, because that was probably one of the craziest I've ever seen Gamble, sure. Like,
it was definitely electric. Nuts. I mean, to speak to your thing about us being extremely well defensively, we got a good couple shot clocks on them.
Which is it's unusual to see. That was how many? There were at least like two.
There
three,
were about
I think,
like
right?
two.
Yeah, there were two.
Still though,
it was weird because it's like, Creighton has one of those problems. I've seen them play where it's like, I think their morale is kind of fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they can hold a game
for
a certain amount of time, but if a team passes by, then they're not catching up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, it won't be enough.
Like, if they got to win, they got to come out blazing then.
Yeah.
Like, they're not a comfort behind team then.
Yeah, like, Creighton is the least foully team in the nation, so you're not going to get that much points off of them.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy how they went from 2 to 9 fouls in like the span of 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that 10-point gap was really just eliciting a crazy response from them.
I just thought it was great too. I think they only held Kalkbrenner to like 9 points.
Oh yeah,
they didn't even reach double digits, and that was the key to that game. Lock him down, and they sure did.
Pretty much, yeah. Creighton played a real stinker in that game, though. Agreed. I can tell you. Number 18 in the country, couldn't even score 50, bro.
I'm very interested to see where they're going to be in the next rankings, because who's their next game?
I think it's at Seton.
Ooh,
that's a trap game.
Oh, boy.
They're at Seton, bro.
Dang.
Bro, Seton is one of the two teams that beat us.
Seton? And that's... Seton is cooking.
Yeah, they
Seton's
are.
Cooking. Mm-hmm. They're gonna be ranked soon. It's, I don't know,
they should have been ranked last week. Yeah. That's what I think.
I still think St. John's, they're gonna be ranked at some point.
Oh yeah,
and they deserve it because they play tough, they play hard, they scheme well, and I'm scared for the next UConn versus St. John's game.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned, like, for our next game, which is this Saturday at the time of listening to this video. They will be in the midst of a battle with Villanova.
Mm, yeah.
At Villanova.
Yeah. And I think they're playing it at the arena where like the Sixers and stuff play too. So that's that crowd. It's going to be a pretty hostile environment for sure.
Villanova is a solid team. They're not the best team, but I wouldn't take them lightly.
Oh, agreed. Absolutely. Always got to take Villanova seriously. And really any big East team outside of DePaul. But
yes,
doesn't matter what your record is. Just all beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah, but speaking of which, speaking of UConn, you know, we all know Jordan Hawkins has been cooking on the Pelicans.
They need to get this man more minutes, get him starting. He is putting his name on the map as a sharpshooter.
Oh, yeah, he scored like 34 points against the Mavs like last week. Yeah. That was without like some of their players. Like Zion, I think he wasn't there, right?
Zion, McCollum, and Ingram were all out. So I think then Hawkins got a start and he just shined in it.
Carrying.
Oh, yeah. And he scored like in other games. I forgot which one it was. He pulled up like 24 or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He had like a modest showing or 21 or something.
And like some of those like big double digit performances have been off the bench too, which is awesome to see.
It's like I saw this weird stat like from a UConn website, of course, that the Pelicans, when Jordan is on the bench and when Hawkins is in there for like 20 minutes or more, they're 4-0.
Wow.
They're 2-2 if he's not.
Yeah. New Orleans is just such a weird team right now. Yeah. You look at the roster, but I don't know. Hawkins, he's been proving to be one of the top five rookies from this class so far.
Absolutely.
He's earned the right to get more playing time down there.
Oh, yeah.
And the Pelicans are cooking, too, because I think they're like the fifth seed in the West right now.
Oh, word.
So, you know, the West is so interesting. It's right now, it's just a very weird conference.
Yeah, what you think, Luxon?
I mean, I don't know. It's good to hear that Hawkins is doing so well. I mean, I haven't really seen the games that you're talking about, but I'll definitely look more into it. But I mean, yeah, it's good to hear UConn is winning in other places aside from just college and stuff. But
yeah, I feel like UConn is kind of peaking in terms of our reputation, or at least the men's team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The women's team is also doing great. Don't get me wrong. They're number 9 in the country.
They're putting it together finally after, you know, injuries and stuff and a weird start. You know, I mean, the freshmen have just been phenomenal.
They have the number one like strength of schedule in the country for women's basketball. So I can't really be mad at them now.
Yeah.
Like, because their first loss was against an unranked NC State who went on to be undefeated until like last week.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3 in the country.
Yeah.
It's reasonable.
I think, what are we? We're number 9 now or something. Nine. And we're rolling through the Big East, which is always good to see.
Yeah, but like both teams have been doing very well. I don't think I've seen the men's team off to this great of a start in Big East.
That's crazy. Because we only lost the one Big East. What are we, 5-1 or 6-1 now? 6-1. Wow. That's good because it was like this time last year where we had the 1-5 stretch or something like that.
Yeah.
That was bad. That was not fun.
Where it's like, I felt like we could be, I wouldn't say we were favored in every game, but we have a good shot at winning every game.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with Marquette falling off.
Ooh. What are they at now in the rankings?
3-3. They just beat Nova at home, though.
Yeah, they're I'm very interested to see what happens with them as Big East play goes on. I think they'll still make the tournament and stuff, March Madness, but it's just, I don't know. It's great to see, though, that the hype is dying around them.
Oh, yeah. They're not. Look, imagine Marquette gets a 4 seed. They're losing the first round. They're not going to be like us. They're not going to be like us.
I am picking whoever plays them first round.
Yeah, they're like Purdue with less expectations. Like, Shocker's, like, I, good comparison. Shocker Smart's a cool coach, but it's like he hasn't really.
I'm not a fan of him. I don't know why. Just some about just.
Is he because he's on the actual, like, court when they're, like, playing?
Oh, yeah, that's part of it, too. I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of him compared to, like, some of the other coaches, like McDermott from Creighton. He has my respect.
But, yeah, I like Creighton.
I don't know.
Yeah, but anyways, you know, another thing about the NBA and UConn. Do you remember that time? I'll never forget this time. Giannis rolled up in UConn sneakers
and then
dropped a franchise record.
64 points.
That's insane.
And then chased the Pacers down to the locker room to get the game ball.
That's why I'm saying that UConn's on top.
Oh yeah, peak relevancy. Yeah. He's got to wear them. He's got to wear them sneakers more, man. Especially with the Bucks right now. He needs to cook.
Yeah.
They got blown out by the Cavs the other night. I don't think Giannis was playing or something, but I don't know. The Bucks are in trouble right now.
Yeah,
they're still the 2 seed. They're 4 games behind Boston for the 1 seed. Philly is cooking, and just I don't know. There's some very sneakily interesting teams in the Eastern Conference right now.
Oh, bro, I gotta say, I hope that the Celtics get far, bro.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's like always at some point in the playoffs they choke.
Yeah.
It's like they never get to their expectations.
Now, as of right now, how far do you think they're making it?
I have trust issues with them, so I think they'll make it. They'll make it far enough, like right before like the actual actual conference winner, and then they'll drop it.
Okay.
It'll be like the conference champion,
conference finals.
Yeah, conference finals. They'll drop it. Mm. They just will.
Yeah.
Bro, Celtics are so inconsistent. Like I remember the Pistons were playing them, and that was like Celtics were the one team that the Pistons had a chance of winning.
Weren't, like, the Pistons up for a while in that game or something?
Yes. It was, like, Celtics had a terrible first half. Like, their first quarter got bodied. But then, you know, as the Pistons do, they got thrown a bone and choked on it. So then the Celtics came back and crept past them.
Yeah. What do you, if you're the Pistons, because I want to talk about them.
Sell the team.
What do you even do?
Sell the team. You know, that's what... That's what the fans have been saying, and I cannot disagree.
Like that's the only sensible option for them.
I will say that if you want to see some crazy things, go on the Detroit Pistons subreddit. Ugh.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
Nasty. I saw something. They were just like, just start punching people. So taking the Draymond Green approach,
absolutely.
It'll make them relevant. Although they are pretty relevant with how ass they are.
Yeah,
I think what sucks about the Pistons being so bad. It's taking the heat off of the Washington Wizards, who are also trash. They've only won 3 more games than Detroit, but they're not getting like any of the same hate.
I would have agreed with you if Kyle Kuzma didn't talk shit about them and then lost to them.
Yeah,
he got ejected that game.
That's true.
So it's like, at this point, it's like, if you're the team that loses to them, you get more hate.
Right. I mean, the Wizards, I mean, you got Kuzma and Jordan Poole, so it's like, yeah, easy to hate.
It's like if we lost to DePaul, it's like, yeah,
oh
sure,
God.
DePaul is ass, but like, come on, you lose to them, what does that make you?
Mm-hmm. Worse than ass.
Yes.
Yeah, but, you know, the Pistons have been hilarious.
They're in hell.
They are really in hell.
There is no true solution there.
Yep.
Oh, Cade Cunningham, press the trade. Get out of there.
Yeah,
get out.
Get the hell out of there.
What would be an interesting fit for Cade? Who needs a stud point guard right now?
I'm not sure.
It's an interesting question.
No, I still remember when they faced the Spurs. They got ass clapped, bro. The Spurs aren't that good either.
No, it's Wemby and a bunch of Make-A-Wish kids.
Wemby just fucking dunked on the ass, bro.
Once Wemby's minute restriction is over, I think he's getting Rookie of the Year soon. Because what he's been doing in like 22, 24 minutes a game, because I think it's like an ankle injury, it's like mind-boggling. He's proven why there was all the hype around him.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
And it's no disrespect to Chet, because I think he can still win it. But I think what Wemby's doing right now is, I think, arguably more impressive, because Chet is in such a great situation there in OKC. They're the 2 seed. They're just absolutely steamrolling right now.
I'm not going to lie. This is getting me. He has some of the strangest proportions on any human being I've seen.
What, Wemby?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's unusually long.
His wingspan is ridiculous.
Bro, I still remember that fact that Breonna Stewart has like a longer wingspan than LeBron.
Oh, my God.
That's insane.
That's crazy, man. And I guess it makes sense then, because I think Wemby's leading the league in blocks right now, if I'm correct, as a rookie.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
He's just
fucked.
I mean, you can't expect
crazy
much out of the proportions of a just large ass 7-footer, bro.
And like, just imagine like if he like gained some weight, put some muscle on him, because like when Giannis came into the league, he was just like a scrawny thing. Then got freaking built. Like if Wemby does that, it's over. He is going to cook the league.
Yeah. Absolutely,
Wemby will be the league at that point.
Yes, it's gonna be Wemby and then everybody else.
Yo, shout out to Wingstop for coming up with one of the most genius marketing ploys.
Shout out.
Bro. Yo, bro. That is brilliant, bro. That's evil, but brilliant.
I was like, those Wingstops in Detroit after they beat the Raptors to snap the win streak.
You got flooded.
That was, that was crafty. Good on Wingstop. Good on Wingstop.
Yeah, they knew they wasn't winning anything.
It was a great move. But they just must have turned a profit that night for sure.
Absolutely. Nah, it's fucking insane. I really got to give it to that's a true winner of this season so far.
I feel like with the Pistons, it takes true talent to be that freaking bad.
You got to be doing on a purpose.
Like, something's going on here. And I saw this one tweet. It was saying, it's like, the Detroit Pistons are playing like LeBron James is going to be in the next draft. And then some wise-ass goes, well, technically, there's LeBron James Jr., but I don't think he's going to be in this draft.
Bro.
Okay, Bronny.
That's
yeah. Sorry to say.
I really wanted to bring it up, but, like, I have little faith in Bronny, and I'm not saying that as a hater, or but I'm saying that as, like, a...
Yeah.
Like,
just objectively speaking.
He has been he's bad.
He's not there yet.
No.
He went 0-7 in his last two games. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like he was facing some great... Yo, USC is ass, bro. Dude,
USC sports in general, I think, are cursed. After like all like the football controversy in the 2000s, they're just cursed now.
Bro. Yo, I'm just so saddened because it's like, USC fans, y'all deserve better than this.
Yeah.
Y'all coach, like, Enfield is just not it. He does so little with what he has. He does so little with more.
What I think is so funny about Bronny and his recent cold stretch, like going 0 for 7, I saw some that Kevin Durant was at one of his games lately. So just imagine, you got KD out there, one of the best shooters of all time, and you, the son of LeBron James, do that and can't even score a bucket.
I think he was at the one against Arizona. I think he might have done better, but I don't think it was anything crazy.
Still, though, it's like...
It's like, yeah, I get he's coming from cardiac arrest, you know, hope he gets better, you know. I like Bronny, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but it's like... It's no disrespect to him, but it's just like, it's sad.
It's like...
It's very sad to see.
I feel like it's working against him that he's being glazed so much. Standards are high.
Yes.
And that makes him more open to haters.
I still think the funniest possible scenario is if Bronny gets drafted, hypothetically, in like a late round, gets drafted by Detroit, and then LeBron has to go to the Pistons.
No.
He would single-handedly take that team. Like, not, he'll take them more than 3-4 wins, bro.
Yeah. That 40-year-old LeBron James will drag that team to the playoffs, and... That would be quite the spectacular sight to see.
I really think that he's going to be there with Bronny for like just exactly 1 year and he's dipping. He's going to retire after that.
That's why he's still playing and stuff.
Yeah, it's like I respect that, LeBron. You're great and you know you trying to be there for your kid, but it's like don't fuck him over.
It's still just crazy, like at 39 years old, he is still the best player on the Lakers, top 10 player in the league, and it's just, I mean, you can clearly see when in like this, in you know his minutes where he's off the court, they're a much worse team without him.
They're struggling anyways, bro.
They're a weird team. I mean, if Anthony Davis could just be just a little bit more consistent, just they'd be better. But he's just AD is frustrating. I don't know.
Yeah,
he'll drop 35 one night and then 11. It's like, what are we doing out here, bro?
Yeah, but I got to talk about the man of the hour, Draymond Green.
Oh, yeah. He's back.
Bro, you guys finally got, like, fucking suspension for all his, like, fucking WWE NFL type fouls, bro.
I cannot wait to see him in like the next WWE SmackDown or something, because that is going to be legendary. Because he's passed this audition with flying colors.
Yo, I remember seeing a highlights video with like the NFL like theme right like under him.
Oh man, put him in at linebacker, just tackle some people.
Absolutely. Yeah, he chose the wrong sport.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
What's your favorite moment, Draymond?
Like, ever? Oh, I think I have to go the Rudy Gobert chokehold.
Oh, bro.
Mostly because I know it's recent and there's the recency bias there, but like, Draymond was on the other end of the court when the fight started, because it was Clay and someone on the Wolves. Rudy goes in to try to bring it up, and Draymond's like, ooh, violence, comes in and just puts that Frenchman in a chokehold. It's like, what was the need of that? It was so unnecessary, but so hilarious. So,
nah.
That's my vote.
The one with Bradley Beal, bro, when he got the fucking jersey ripped off.
That one was bad. That was bad.
Nah, he's crazy for that. I was just so...
Yeah.
I was like, I can't believe you actually did that, Draymond.
Yeah.
Nah, he's up on everything, bro.
Mm. Yeah. I think Draymond's age has put him in a state of extreme irritability right now.
Yeah.
You know what? Speaking of age, let's get into the Warriors a bit. They're all getting older. They are not going anywhere.
Yeah, they're slowing down, bro. Mm.
Like, if what do you even do if you're the Warriors right now?
Get some younger players, bro.
Yeah. No, they have them. Steve Kerr refuses to play them. He's still... Because, I don't know, the problem is when you have a core of Steph, Draymond, and Klay who won four titles together, you don't want to be the guy to break that big three up.
Yeah, I get it.
But I think Klay's going to be a free agent, like, upcoming this year. This might be the last year of that big three. Wow.
Maybe Draymond can stop fouling. Still on, like,
fucking... And they can't get rid of Draymond because they're giving him, like, $100 million, like they got to pay him $75 million over the next 3 years.
This all has to be intentional, bro. Like, same thing with the Pistons. Like, you have to actively try doing this stuff for these results.
It's crazy. It is crazy that they're in hell right now. At this rate, they're not even making the play-in.
Yeah, that's kind of
wild.
Sucky. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Who do you think is an underrated gem?
An underrated gem. Like a team in general, or
just overlooked?
Overlooked. I'd say the Miami Heat, but that's such a generic answer because it feels like every year and they
always
are,
come
and
out
it's
of
just
nowhere.
Like, Pat Riley has a deal with the devil. That's a good question here. What would your answer be?
I would have said Miami.
Yeah, Miami. Miami's a good one. I think the Knicks have been on a tear lately.
Yeah, they're solid, yeah.
Since the Anunoby trade, it's just been working wonders there. Brunson put up 41 last night. He is him. So get this man to the All-Star game ASAP.
Yeah, they're
really
some,
hoping for it.
It's like, I don't know, for some reason I feel good about how good the Timberwolves are.
Dude, that's the fact that they're the one seed. Just like,
yeah, I know, it's
who
funny.
Who would have seen that coming?
It's like, I remember when the Timberwolves sucked.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, though. Like, who was the one who just got, like, that self, like, assist dunk?
Oh. On the Timberwolves or just in general?
Timberwolves. I got you right here. Just give me one sec.
Self-assist dunk. Wait, I know the one you're talking about. I saw it on Twitter the other day, but I'm completely blanking on it.
Yeah, but, like, it was pretty damn, like, dope. I did see it. I forgot.
They're just... It's just really crazy to see that the combo of Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert is actually working. And they're just rolling. So.
Oh, yeah. You know what it was? It was Anthony Edwards. He gave himself a self-alley-oop.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Man. So...
Yeah, but like that's pretty like it's pretty cool, like I said. But like you know someone who was I wouldn't say a goat but was a dog? Ja Morant.
Oh. It when I saw the tweet that he was going to be out for the season, that broke my heart, man, because he was hooping when he came back. Just his first game back against the Pelicans and just hitting that dagger shot, the game winner. It's just like, oh, man, he is him.
Yeah, when he went back to Memphis, it was like, it was crazy. Like, I forgot what exactly, like, he was fucking.
He was cooking. They were 6-3 when he was back, so. But I think Memphis now, they're in a good spot because they're going to suck this year. So they can tank for a higher draft pick, you know, get another young piece around Ja. The Grizzlies next year could be freaking cooking. So, I don't know. I think they're going to be really good next year. Ja, I hope he just goes on a tear. He's so good to watch, man.
I have a question. Where do you think Stephon Castle will end up?
Oh.
Where do you think he would fit in?
Where would he fit in? Teams that need guards. Oh. I know him in Orlando would be interesting because they're a young up and coming team, but cuz like they got their front court set with Franz and Paolo, but there's still a lot of questions, you know, about their backcourt. So I feel like that could be a really interesting opportunity there.
Got you.
I was reading one mock draft the other day. Yeah, I think it had him going there and then clinging to OKC. Because they need a backup big man behind Chet.
That is interesting.
That would be very fun. Interesting.
I want to see Clint Con get into some action, bro.
Yeah. I'm very interested to see how he does down the stretch here because I thought he did pretty good in his return back, and as he keeps getting more minutes, you know, his impact will be there.
He had like a really great defensive presence. Like I would say that alone probably just what shifted our style of play
for sure, and it's just great too because of like, you know, just having him there, fans were going nuts. So just having him for the atmosphere and everything was, you know, great for fan morale, and I think it's really going to propel the team over these next couple weeks and some really critical matchups.
Got you. Well, Luxon had to leave, but you know, Dan, what you thinking about right now? Just like any other sports?
I am thinking about the NFL divisional playoff games that are this weekend because I am so freaking hyped for this. These matchups, all of them, have the potential to be really, really great, and I don't know, they're going to be close games, I think. It's so crazy because you look at the NFC and the quarterbacks that are left, and it's like, am I reading this right? You get Jordan Love, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, and Brock Purdy. It's like, who, NFL scriptwriter, you are cooking right now, I'll tell you what.
Yeah,
so it's going to be fun.
Honestly, pretty happy right now. The two teams I wanted out are already out.
Me too. Let's talk about those games a bit.
I
think Philly, a lot of people picked them to lose, and they just couldn't make a tackle to save their life.
To be fair, they have been slumping really hard and at the worst possible time.
Oh, yeah.
You get blown out by the Giants in your last game, and the Giants suck as they are.
As a Giants fan, I loved that game so much.
I like the Giants, too. Like, I don't like Philly, bro. I ain't liked them since last year. Me neither.
Well, Philly, it's just, I think, especially this year, because Nick Sirianni, their coach, is just such a freaking douche. And just, because remember on the thing after they barely beat the Chiefs, him in the tunnel yelling, "Hey, Chiefs fans, see ya!" Just kind of overall a douche, and then they just collapsed, and it was beautiful.
When it didn't matter, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
He couldn't beat them when it mattered most.
But what I think is funny about the Bucks-Eagles game,
The Bucks?
Yeah, Buccaneers.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. I don't know.
No, you're good. Anyway. What's funny about the game the Eagles lost to Tampa is that if Mike Evans and Tampa's receivers actually caught the ball more, because Baker was dropping dimes, if they caught some of those passes, that game could have been 45-9. So the fact that it was only 32-9, I think, is, you know what? Philly is kind of lucky there, but the real shocker, the number 2 seeded Dallas Cowboys getting absolutely blown out for the first time in NFL history by a number 7 seed, the upstart Green Bay Packers.
Bro, Green Bay just fucking slammed them, bro.
They fucked them up. 27-0 in the first half.
Yeah, that was insane. That was, yo, you should have seen all the fan reactions. That basically was like a good way to summarize the whole
shebang. They were just shebang. I loved Stephen A. Smith's reaction, as always. He's one of the biggest Cowboys haters out there, and I love that. He's like, I tried to tell you. But it was shocking just how bad the Cowboys folded, because going into this playoffs with how weird the NFC was, my thought was, okay, if there's a year where the Cowboys are going to make it to the NFC Championship game, it's going to be this. And I had picked them to win because I'm like, okay, Green Bay is a good team. You know, they'll make it interesting. But, you know, they're a very young upstart team.
Mm-hmm.
But just, it was bad. It was bad.
Well, the lesson of the day is that, like, never let the Cowboys or Purdue trick you into thinking that they're actually going to do something.
Absolutely. What I think is crazy, too, is that the Cowboys, because right after the game, it's like, oh, man, Mike McCarthy is getting fired. Bill Belichick, you are a Dallas Cowboy. They're rolling with Mike McCarthy again for this year. Ugh. I do not agree with that choice.
Bro.
But then again, if it means the Cowboys will lose again, I'll take it.
Got blown out at home, bro.
At home, as the 2 seed.
Don't get blown out at home as a favorite.
Mm-hmm. It's just, it was stunning. And everything, with the other games, everything else kind of went as expected. Lions-Rams was a fun one to watch. Detroit getting their first playoff win in like 32, 33 years. So I love that for the city and their fans. No fan base in the NFL deserves that more.
Absolutely, but I cannot believe that I can say that the Lions are
mm-hmm.
beast and
they're
fucking
good.
Patriots are ass, bro.
Right, the New England Patriots, they're moving on from Bill Belichick.
Yeah. Seriously, universe, Lions are good, Patriots bad.
It's crazy. Although, if we want to talk about other upset loss, I think one that Texans-Browns. Oh, man. That was a close game the first half, and then the Houston Texans defense said, fuck this, and picked off Joe Flacco twice in a row for pick sixes.
Nah, that's bad.
You know, I saw some memes like, Joe Flacco is the greatest double agent of all time. comes in for the Browns, gives them hope, and then it's like, oh, so Ravens fans were very happy with that outcome. CJ Stroud is an absolute dog. And now the Texans go to Baltimore.
I'm not going to lie, I want the Ravens to win.
Yeah. I've never been big on the Ravens. Well, my mom's a Steelers fan, so, you know, I've never been big on any of those AFC North teams. I think that game, that's going to be interesting because Baltimore, they're a really well-balanced team on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. I think the question is, can the Texans defense do to the Ravens what they did to the Browns? But I don't know. I'm liking Houston's chances right now because of what their offense did against the number 1 ranked defense in the league. And I think that carries some weight. I think if the Texans are going to win that game, CJ Stroud needs to ball out even more than he did. So I think it's going to be close, but
oh yeah.
I don't know.
I am really excited for the Super Bowl.
Dude, it's going to be great, man. So at least this year we're getting good playoffs, because last year the playoffs were very underwhelming, especially divisional and championship weekend.
Yeah, that's fair.
I remember the ones 2 years ago with that divisional round that had that epic Bills-Chiefs game.
Mm-hmm.
It was like one of the greatest weekends of football ever.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, Ravens-Texans is going to be interesting. Niners-Packers, I think, is a really underrated matchup. Is the Niners are a juggernaut, and I think they'll win, but I think the Packers are going to keep it very close.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Jordan Love can really light up the Niners' definitely questionable secondary.
I think they can catch them if they're not careful.
I think the question is, if the Packers are going to win, they have to limit Christian McCaffrey. But that's a hard task.
Yeah. But anyways, like, that's... It's a very interesting, like, year for NFL, like, teams.
Oh, yeah. It was a weird NFL season because it was the year of the backup quarterback. But it made the season so chaotic and interesting. So, as a fan, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, of course. And then turning it back to chaos, like, you know, hopefully we can repeat double national championships.
Ooh,
the
hopefully.
Huskies, like,
I sure hope so.
Running it double.
I think we got a chance.
We definitely do.
I think we can make a deep run again, you know. Again, I think it's really going to be about two things that are going to determine how far we go. One is, you know, Klingon getting back to Donovan Klingon form, being dominating.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, Stephon Castle.
Yes.
I am waiting for like a 20-25 point game from Castle, just be like, for him just to be like, here I am, man, and just freaking ball out. Because he was doing good for a couple games, driving to the basket, but then just this game against Creighton, like, eh.
Yeah, I think it's a little hiccup.
Yeah.
He'll do better.
I think so, too, because overall he has been balling lately, so I don't know. I just want to see him do good. He's still projected as a first-rounder, but more of like a late lottery instead of a top 10. But
he still hasn't played that much.
Right, but there's a lot that can change, because this year's NBA mock drafts, people don't know what to think.
I really don't either, because it feels like overall,
mm-hmm.
it feels a little weaker. Like,
it is.
The number one like pick was like Isaiah Collier,
and
he's good, but it's like he has...
It's not as strong of a class as like last year.
Yeah, he had like very like clear flaws. Like, he turns the ball over a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll see what arises out of them. Like, hopefully Stephon can continue to ball out. Like,
yeah.
I hope the best for him, you know, of course.
Yes. I'm just still hoping and praying that next season we get to play Duke so we can beat Cooper Flagg.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. can never forgive Duke for that.
No, never can. If that game is at Duke, I might have to consider flying down to North Carolina just so I can boo him.
Absolutely.
Which would be, although... It's an interesting little stadium they have there at Duke, because it's like really old and like small and compact.
Yeah, Cameron, right?
Yeah, Cameron Indoor Stadium or something like that.
Yeah, but you know where the Mecca is? Gamble Pavilion.
Damn straight. Basketball capital of the freaking world. The house that Hurley built and is still building.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is great.
Yeah, add it. Make it six.
The carpenter himself.
Dan Hurley.
Who even gave him that nickname?
John Rothstein.
That's what I figured.
What? Yeah, I've been paying attention to him a lot.
But yeah, man, we'll see what happens. Let's freaking go Huskies, and it's going to be an interesting stretch. I can't wait for those Marquette games and the one against Villanova on campus here in February.
Yeah, I'm going to be
electric.
There.
Are you playing that night? Or?
Yes, sir.
Whoa.
Playing on the band.
Dude, you were playing the other night too, because I think I saw it.
Yeah, I was.
I don't know if you know, there were 2 points they showed my friends and I on the Jumbotrons.
I think I saw you, yeah.
We look up, we're like, hey, let's freaking go.
Yeah, it's always the most fun moments. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're out for blood, bro. Duke,
we are.
Watch out.
Yeah, man. Cooper Flagg, love you. You're going down. Down, I say.
Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Black Bull Podcast, where we talk about relevant news and interesting topics each week. I'm Nishan with our guest,
Dan Stark.
Be sure to check us out on Spotify, WHUS.org, Apple Podcasts, and you're listening to us right now on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores, and have a good-ass day.